Blog Talk Radio.
Nalema kulila misozi, nikayanga na banja latu. Kupadwa tinabadwa mushe, koma lelo lipazulika. Nikale kalapo kondwela leloeka tutikumbukila kweta chokela amai kuvutika mutima koma zoti tazisoa ni maona misozi masomwake ni mavuto abale ni mavuto.
Good morning from Dallas, Texas, and welcome to the Zambia Blog Talk Radio. January 24th, 2015. We do thank everybody for joining us. We have a very important information to share today. This is a must listen show because these are some of the things that affect our lives and the things that we do. We're going to be discussing African Diaspora Marketplace, the business plan competition, and we're going to have David Sanders, Robert Chinga, my co-host, and Mr. Marcus Achiume joining us from Zambia. This is very important. Robert is not a stranger to this show. We consider him to be a regular contributor and a member of the team. Zambia USA Chamber of Commerce founder and Zambia Resource Center. Robert, good morning. Should I say you are in California? It's difficult to tell where Robert is. Good morning, Robert. Okay. Robert, are you there? Matilda, good morning.
Robert is not answering.
Matilda.
Yes, good morning, Nathan.
Okay, I just want to make sure I'm on because...
No, you are okay. On. I'm just trying to reach the guest right now.
Okay. We're trying to connect our guests and everybody to come on so that we begin our discussion. This is very important because the reason I'm saying this is important is because things like this, what happens is when people see things like this, they think it's not true, it's not real. We're going to bring on somebody who participated in this in 2011, 2012, and they actually got the grant. Okay, we have some special guests here with us, but I want Robert to do the introduction. Okay, Robert, are you there now? Okay, all right. He's trying to be CIA. Okay, I guess this is it. Is this...
Can you hear me now?
Okay, yeah. You know, the way you are now, it appears like a Skype number. All right, like I said... Robert Sichinga, Zambia USA Chamber of Commerce, and the Zambia Resource Center. We consider Robert to be part of the Zambia Blog Talk Radio team and a regular contributor. Good morning and welcome, Robert.
Good morning, Evan. How are you?
Doing good. You need to do something with your mic and so that we can hear you properly. It's sort of fuzzy and it's got an echo to it. Also joining us, like I'm saying that, you see, some of these things, when they happen, they look like it's a joke or it's not true, you know. Also joining us, we are very privileged and honored to have Mr. Joseph Chilaizia, Deputy Chief of Mission at the Zambian Embassy in Washington, D.C. Mr. Chilaizia, good morning and thank you for joining us, sir.
Uh,
I don't know if he was able to connect. I've been trying to call earlier.
Okay. Maybe I'm looking at a totally different number. All right.
Okay. I'll keep trying.
You know what? Probably this is David. David, are you on 2024805? Let me see.
Hello?
Good morning. David, is that you on 2024805?
No, this is David.
Yeah, all right. I thought that was Mr. All right, joining us also is David Sanders, the outreach coordinator at Africa Diaspora Marketplace. David, thank you for joining us, and good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the show. We need to get underway here in our discussion. David, please help us understand what is African Diaspora Marketplace and when was it established?
The African Diaspora Marketplace was established in 2009 as a partnership between Western Union and USAID to find a way to help aspiring entrepreneurs to go back to their homelands and create businesses or to expand emergency businesses on the continent.
That's interesting. How did this come up? Where some people sat in a meeting, or where did the idea come from?
Well, the idea came from the fact that Western Union was very interested in finding ways to assist entrepreneurs. They knew that people were sending money back in remittances to their families and friends back home, and they thought it would be an ingenious way to spur innovative creativity and entrepreneurship to have some of that money transferred into businesses back home. So Western Union partnered with USAID to put up a grant program to allow entrepreneurs, African diaspora entrepreneurs, to start businesses back in Africa.
Mm-hmm. Is it specifically directed at the African diaspora?
Yes, the African diaspora specifically must have 25% ownership in the business, but they're allowed to have American businesses as partners and Africans as partners as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. When was the first competition held? And in your experience in doing this, what do you observe are the countries that most participate in this?
Well, this is the third phase of the competition. The first phase was in 2009. The second phase was 2011. And now we're into the third phase. So we've had two successful ADM competitions already. Mostly Nigerians, Kenyans, Ghanaians were very much the predominant entrepreneurs. But we were very successful and happy to have a Zambian awardee last year. We also had winners from other African countries. This year, the program is further expanded, and we're looking to have more diaspora participation from around the continent.
Okay. Robert?
Sure. Hey, good morning. Hey, David. Good morning. It's good to talk to you again.
Good to hear from you.
David, could you give us an idea on how successful the roadshows have been? Well, maybe just giving us an idea as to the roadshow themselves and how successful they've been across the country.
Well, it's been very successful because we actually get to go outside of Washington and meet African diasporas in their communities and link them up with the resource partners that they can take advantage of, the training opportunities with the Minority Business Development Agency, Small Business Administration, Chambers of Commerce, business leagues, associations, et cetera, out in their own local communities. And so it's given me a chance to meet diaspora from all across the country, to see the enthusiasm, the ideas, the creativity that they have, and to know that they can be successful in this program from within their own abilities.
On average, what's the total number of applicants you get per competition? Because I know that you narrowed down to between 10 and 15 winners, but how many applicants do you actually receive per submission?
Well, we're looking to have between 1,000 to 1,500 applicants this year. With the ADM2, it was a very specific competition that looked at renewable energy, agriculture, and ICT specifically, so it wasn't a fully expanded competition. This time we've decided to open it up to all industry sectors, so we're looking to have that larger number of applicants.
Do you think this is going to be an ongoing competition?
Yes, I do. I think definitely the success of ADM has continued to grow. It's not just the awardees, it's the entire group of people who have enthusiastically responded, who have seen opportunities as they present themselves. You don't have to be an awardee. You can be an applicant, gain information, knowledge, access, connections with resource partners that can help you develop a business on the continent, even if you're not in the final awardee.
Mm. What are some of the benefits that, in addition to just the networking, are there additional benefits that an awardee is able to achieve through the process?
Yes, the awardee receives up to $50,000 in grant funds, technical assistance. USAID has done a great job as far as promoting and marketing and assisting the awardees to expand their network across the continent. There is also an ability to be put in front of venture capital firms to make a pitch to receive additional funding. So it's been overall a very, very phenomenal program for a small setup seed money beginning to grow the companies to where they are right now.
Excellent. Let me ask you this, David. The application has been opened up. The application process has opened up, right? And somebody listening out there is, okay, how does this work? Where do I start from?
You start by going to the website, which is www.aspermarketplace.org. And when you go to the website, you click on the link that says application, and then the screen will download and you will go into the application mode. The first phase is you submit your concept note, which is a 3-5 page proposal, which will then be reviewed by a team of graduate students and professionals. If you make it past the first screening of the concept note, you'll be asked to submit a full business plan. When you submit the full business plan, you'll be given a certain time period to work with the local partners in your community, the SBA, MBDA, other partners to help you develop the fine-tuning process of your business plan. And then you submit your business plan. And then your business plan is reviewed by another group of judges, professionals in the industry sectors, who will then determine the we're looking at maybe 50 finalists. And those 50 finalists will be invited to come to Washington, D.C. to make a final presentation. And at that final presentation, they will be determined whether they will be an ADM awardee.
Okay, excellent. So everybody listening, those that are interested, again, the website is diasporamarketplace, oneweb.org, diasporamarketplace. Just go to the website and follow the steps that David has explained. One thing I discovered, David, in dealing with Robert and the website and the process that has the few competitions that you've had in the past, there are categories that, like you mentioned, agriculture, IT. What are the categories for this year?
What's that again, the question?
There are categories like agriculture, IT, that's what I'm trying to say. What are the categories you're considering for application this year?
So this time it's been fully open. They give you a list of categories that you can look at, but you have the opportunity to submit your proposal. Really, your concept note will determine what category you are going to fit into. But it's a fully open competition this time.
Robert, that makes it more interesting, don't you think?
Oh, definitely. Definitely more interesting.
Yeah, because the feedback that we got last time, David, was that why is it restricted only to the categories that were mentioned the last time? Okay, so everybody, this is what it is. We are with David Sanders here, the outreach coordinator at Africa Marketplace, Diaspora Marketplace. We're trying to get some information about the process has opened. When did this open, David, and when is the closing date?
Well, it opened the 12th of December last year, and the closing date is the 13th of February this year. And we may extend that period for a week or two, depending on the amount of applicants that are being submitted, because we want to give everyone an ample opportunity and time. People who are just hearing about this competition today, you don't worry. You have time to submit your application. It's a very simple process. We're looking at either an existing business or a startup business. So you're not restricted to say, I must already have a company in business. No, you can have a startup and compete for the award. But your business must be based in Africa. You must have 25% ownership of the business. And most importantly, when you do receive the award, you must be able to provide matching funds. So if you apply for the grant and you apply for $40,000 in funds, you must be able to match the $40,000 in funds. And that is the three primary criteria for receiving the grant.
Okay. Excellent. At this stage, I think people might have questions. Let me allow for questions for those that have called in as we're trying to connect Mr. Achiume from Lusaka, who's going to share his thoughts with us on his experience with it. Those that have got questions for David, please press 1 on your phone keypad, and I'll let you ask David the questions that we have. Let's go to area code 267, the last four digits are 9119, your name and where you're calling from.
Hello, my name is Mwansa. I'm calling from Pennsylvania. I am from Zambia, and I just want to take this opportunity to thank, I know Dave is hosting the program, and I want to thank Matilda for informing me about this program today, this topic, and also a shout out to Nathan, who has also been involved in this talk right here. I think it's a great forum. I've just tuned in, and I have an idea of what we're talking about. So my question really is, Zambians that want to start businesses, I'm not sure if this question will be relevant to what we're talking about as I just tuned in, but I was thinking that, for instance, a Zambian who wants to start a business or anybody wants to start a business, does that business have to be, I understand what you're saying, that it has to be registered in Africa. So does that mean that the entire operation should be in Africa, or is it a situation where the ownership can be in Africa but the actual business activity is done here? In other words, what I'm getting at is, for example, if it's an import and export business, for instance, if someone owns an import and export business, that means that, for instance, if it's registered in Africa or in Zambia, how would that work? Does it matter that that person is importing things here and selling them here? And the other question I had was, one of the challenges I found, example, for Zambian entrepreneurs is that Zambians are scattered throughout the 54 states, or at least most of the states. I think, how about a situation where, this is extremely difficult, maybe because of attitudes and the way we are spread out and people have different experiences, but I think Zambian entrepreneurs, it would do very well for them to have a united platform through which they can market their products to the American market, because the American market is a very big and diverse market. So it's not a question of small Zambian entrepreneurs here in the U.S. competing against each other. I think it would make sense for entrepreneurs here in the U.S. from Africa coming together and creating sort of like a universal platform through which they can market their brands and their products to the American market. Do you think that's feasible? I just wanted your opinion on that. Yes.
Okay, let David respond to that. David?
Okay.
Okay, first, the question about partnering with other Zambian businesses, that's a good idea, and it's doable. You're not restricted to having just be the sole proprietor or the sole business idea. You can have partners. You can work with Zambians. You can work with your neighboring partners in other countries as well. Now, in the area of you stated about export-importing, you must have the business operation. A majority of the business operation must be in the country because they're asking you to create jobs and to create business opportunities on the continent. Export-importing is a challenge for the business competition, but it can be done. You just have to be creative in how you design the operation to work from Zambia or from another African country, even though you're based here in the U.S. It can be done.
Okay.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you for that question, Monsa. And everybody needs to understand, I think we may not be able to exhaust whatever questions or things you may need to be clarified. Remember, please go to the website. It's even better for people to go to the website now. And when you see something, you'll be able to clarify it with David as we are talking. The website is diasporamarketplace.org. Diasporamarketplace.org. Let me go to Dr. Patrick. Dr. Patrick, please go ahead with your question or comment.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. Good day, David. I also heard Robert in there, so good day, Robert, to you.
Good day, right. Dr. Patrick. How are you?
Oh, excited, excited. I heard two things that made me smile ear to ear. The first thing, David, when you mentioned there's a 40% that, let's say $40,000 for the grant, but in order to get the grant, you have to have $40,000 in the business to match it. That's one of the things I've always promoted, which is skin in the game. In all businesses going forward, there must be skin in the game. There must be equal advantage to win and also equal disadvantage to lose. So both parties must have skin in the game. I also smiled greatly when you mentioned business plans. That's one of the platforms that's necessary for any business to succeed and excel. My suggestion going forward, and I'm sure you've already thought of this, but just to keep it on the radar, is to set aside money for annual conferences. And these conferences should have speakers to address how the individual won the grant, what did he or she do, and it should include females. And if there are no, to date, females who've won the grant, you should identify ways to be more inclusive to make sure that we have a good diversity of male and female winners. Second, how to write a business plan. Third, pay for the African entrepreneurs who won the program to travel to the conference if it's going to be in the United States or if it's going to be in Africa, and how to create a partner-partner relationship. That's very important. And finally, talk about import-export, meeting standards and regulations regionally as well as internationally. But again, I congratulate and compliment you both for an outstanding program. Good job, David.
Well, but thank you. Let me respond to three of the points you raised. First, women entrepreneurs is very important to the ADM program. We have a sister program that's partnering with the women, with the ADM. It's called the African Women's Entrepreneurship Program, AWEP. You can also find out information about AWEP by going to the website. It's a specific program designed to partner successful women entrepreneurs on the continent with women entrepreneurs here in the U.S. So it's a program that we said is necessary to make sure that we have a greater participation of women entrepreneurs both in the U.S., in the diaspora community, and on the African continent. The second question you asked about was the business training application process, and we have designed a program that partners with the Small Business Administration, Minority Business Administration, and other organizations in the U.S. government, state and local governments, to provide technical assistance and training, counseling, partnering you with mentors, business people who have already done this. So, yes, that is in place. And the third area is the idea that you suggested about having a discussion with the former awardees, which I'm glad we have one of the awardees, a Zambian, on the phone that will talk about their experience. So we have found it very useful to have awardees to come forward and speak publicly about their success of their program, talk about the problems they had, the challenges, the difficulties, and how they persevered. So these are three very essential, important elements of ADM. which I believe creates the sustainability of ADM. It's not just a program that we're going to say we're going to do for a couple of years. It has sustainability because we have training, we have an emphasis on making sure more women are involved, and we also make sure that the awardees can be used as a follow-up on success models of what can be done in the future.
Outstanding.
Excellent. Yes, David, the point you mentioned is I have looked at the website extensively, and I noticed that our Vision got their own their own page on the Diaspora Marketplace website. How did this relationship come about?
The relationship with AWEP and ADM?
Yes, yes.
Well, in ADM 1 and 2, we found that it was a challenge of having women entrepreneurs here in the U.S. be able to successfully compete with the male counterparts. And so we said we don't want to create a separate program because that would not allow the women to compete directly with the men. So we said we have to take advantage of an existing program, which was started by Secretary Hillary Clinton in the State Department when she saw a need to create more entrepreneurial activity for women, which is the AWEP program. So the AWEP program is a program designed to connect women entrepreneurs, but it's not a business plan competition. The ADM is the business plan competition. You have women applying for ADM. So we say the two programs should be unified. So AWEP is a way to get more women involved in the business plan competition. At the same time, it connects them with partners on the ground.
David, you might want to also mention that one of the first chairs of AWEP is a Zambian, Sylvia Banda.
Oh, well, yes, of course. How could I forget that? And it's been we've always had a great admiration for the women entrepreneurs on the continent, and we know that they have been the backbone of the industries in Africa. We just want to make sure that they get the proper recognition. So thank you for making sure that I remember that.
Excellent. You are listening to Zambia Block Talk Radio, and we're talking to David Sanders, who is the outreach coordinator at Africa Diaspora Market. And if you wish to ask David a question, please press 1 on the phone keypad so that we know that you want to ask David a question. And we have people that are listening online. You can go to our Facebook page, Zambia Block Talk Radio, or you can even send your questions to @ZambiaBlockRadio on Twitter, and we'll try to pass on those questions to David. We're trying to connect Mr. Marcus Achiume from Lusaka. There seems to be a little bit of some technical problems, and we are working out those things, okay? So for those that are calling, please, if you wish to ask David a question, please press 1 on your phone keypad so that we know that you need to ask a question. David, one of the things that... How did the connection between you and the Zambia U.S. Chamber of Commerce and Robert come about?
Well, I met Robert from the roadshow when we went out to Los Angeles. I was able to sit down and speak with him for the ADM2, and we spoke about how can we get more participation from other African countries in the program. Because, you know, in ADM1, there was an overflow of certain African countries. Your brothers and cousins were getting all the opportunities. And so we said, what can we do to expand this program? Robert introduced himself. He told me his work that he was doing. He's continued to do an outstanding job with the Zambian business community. And so when ADM3 was launched, he immediately contacted me. And he said, what can we do to make sure that more Zambian entrepreneurs are given an opportunity? And I would say that the work of the Zambian Embassy, I want to commend them for putting this information on the website. I want to commend Robert for all of his tireless work. He has done a fantastic job. This radio show is a great opportunity, and I just think that more of the Zambian entrepreneurs should applaud the work that's being done here in the U.S. to make sure that they're given a fair opportunity to be successful with this program.
Excellent. In view of your collaboration with Robert, the Zambian embassy, how would you characterize the response from the Zambian diaspora in submitting applications in participation?
I think they're encouraged. I think we have already seen some interest from some Zambian participants. We need to have more. You had an awardee from last time, and it was a very great news because it had shown that other African countries who were in some cases not put on the front line can be also frontline awardees. So we just want to continue this opportunity, and Zambians have come forward, and now with the radio show and with more of the promotions that we have done, we do see more opportunities for Zambian participation with ADM.
David, say a little bit about yourself. You're not a Johnny-come-lately. You've been out there working for Africans and African and Americans across the board. Just a little quick about you, who David is.
Well, I've been doing this for 40 years. I started out when I was a baby, but was always interested in doing business in Africa from my beginning travels. I've been to 30 countries in Africa. I go to Zambia every year, and I have had great admiration for the energy and the creativity of the entrepreneurs on the continent. And so here in America, it was when I think Bill Clinton was the first president that really started to change the mindset of Americans about doing business in Africa, thanks to his Commerce Secretary, Ron Brown. That's when everybody started saying, oh, that guy David that was in the wilderness crying, bring him forward. He's the guy that's been talking about going to Africa. What does he have to say? And so from that, over the next 25 years, I've been involved in the Africa Growth and Opportunity Act, the trade and investment programs, the African diaspora marketplace. And so the process of my evolution has been very, very fascinating. I've been, from the beginning, always promoting trade with Africa and with my brothers and sisters on the African continent.
What about tourism?
For tourism, that's my second life. I have a tourism business. I promote travel to Africa, as I stated. I've been to 30 countries in Africa, and I'm trying to get all of them checked off of my passport. I have a few more to go. I'm almost there.
Believe it or not,
I will probably be the first African-American male to have been to every African country in the 500-year history of Africa and America. There has never been a black man who has been to every country in Africa.
That's the David I know.
Yeah, let's go back to the competition, David. What are some of the common mistakes applicants make?
What about the what?
What are some of the common mistakes that applicants make?
The first mistake is thinking you can't win. You have to apply, and you have to be involved to have an opportunity. So don't let that be a mistake. You must apply. The other minor mistakes make that you think is too complicated. If you try to do this on your own, it is complicated. You need to get assistance from technical partners through the state and local government agencies, individuals who are subject matter experts who can help you design your idea. It's not their idea, it's your idea, but you need experts to help you craft the proper way to submit the application. And once you go into the business plan, you need to have either more seasoned expertise, because doing business in America is not the same as doing business internationally. So you have to have people who understand international business, the culture of doing business internationally, the financing mechanisms of doing business internationally, and you have to actually be on the continent. You cannot do this by winning an ADM grant and operating from your home. You must be on the continent to make this thing successful.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay, everybody listening, please note we're speaking to David Sanders from the Africa Diaspora Marketplace. We encourage that you go to the website and get the information there, diasporamarketplace.org. And please, like David has said, do not think you cannot win. When you try, I mean, I try to encourage a lot of people to do this time around, and they were like, it's too good to be true, and all those things. And please don't give up before you even start trying, and do your best to do that. Let me go to the phone lines as we are trying to wait for Marcus in Zambia, the winner for the Zambian who won in 2012, and get a question from Area code 913. I believe this is Zebron. Zebron, go ahead with your question.
Thanks, Nathan. My question to David is, by the way, how are you, David?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. My friend and I have tried, like, to set up a business, and you know, we've talked about, you know, partnering, and then this one wants to come in, someone wants to come in, and sometimes we see that just the partners that I want to come together are just too many. To you, when does partners just become too big? Like, what's the average number of partnering to come up before you can, like, partner and start up a business?
Well, I would say it's not the number, it's the quality of the partner. The more skill sets that a person brings to the table, the less you need in a partnership. If you have someone who's only a financial expert, they cannot be the marketing, they cannot be the administration, they cannot be the other areas. So you have to get individuals who have quality, not quantity. And the individuals must have allegiance to the goal of being successful in the business. So I would say the characteristics of who should be your partners are individuals who believe as a unit they can be successful, and they have to have the right expertise. That is the most critical factor. Having 10 people line up to be on your team and none of them have the wherewithal to win the game, you just have 10 spectators. You must have real players as your partners.
Excellent.
Thank you so much.
We have Marcus Atiume joining us from Zambia. He was the winner in 2012, I believe. So, Marcus, good evening, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Sorry about the delay in calling you and all the technical troubles.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're on the other side of the planet, so I suppose communication challenges. But I'm online now, and I've been following the conversation for about 5 minutes. So, please go ahead, and let's carry on. I don't know how long I can stay on for, but let's try and maximize the time that I'm on with you. I can answer any questions that you may have. Good initiative to put this together.
Okay, basically, I understand you once lived in the diaspora. What made you make the decision to go back to Zambia? And how was the transition setting in?
Okay, initially, Nathan, my goal was to come out there and get the education and the experience. Career expertise in software engineering, and at the time, this wasn't a very well-developed sort of industry back here at home. So I left Zambia in the mid-90s, and I spent about 10 years out there. And early 2000s, I decided to come back home from the regular visits. I come home and find that things were actually changing in terms of the economy and the opportunity as well over here. So mid 2006, I came down for about 3 months and basically made up my mind to come back home. So got back on a plane, wrapped things up in D.C., and came back and got a job with a local business over here. That was 2006. So I think the decisions will probably be different for different people. But at the end of it all, my sincere advice would be that if you do decide to do that, it's got to be something that comes from the heart and not somebody that's telling you, it's going to work for you from a mental process point of view. It's got to be something that you actually believe in, because you are leaving behind, how can I put it, the trappings of a developed environment and coming back home. And some things may not seem so good, but other things may be ideal for you. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. You know, people in diaspora, there are certain notions that we hold, which are probably most of the time different from the reality. Talk to us about when you decided to register this company, the startup process, and what challenges did you go through?
So So the business itself is a software business. We're a software business that have a focus on transaction processing. So late 2008, I had approached a colleague of mine who's a corporate lawyer, and she spent a lot of time in that area working for businesses and structuring their administration departments. The idea was to go off and build this company together, me coming in with the technical background and her coming in with the corporate sort of outlook. We first of all started with a business plan, which we wrote. I filled in most of the operational aspects of it, the technical aspects of it, and she brought in the administration aspect of it. One of the things we had to do was get approval from the Bank of Zambia, because we're now dealing with financial institutions and dealing with people's money, so we are a regulated company. From that point of view, that did take a little bit of time. It took us about 2 or 3 months to put that together. But the basic registration, which is the PACRA registration, the ZRA registration, that was pretty straightforward. Company name clearance, they do that online, and it's in a matter of minutes. You've got your directors who sign up as directors. The shareholding structure is pretty straightforward to fill in. Look, it can all be done in a single day if you've got all the people that need to sign off on these documents present. So in a single day, you can get your company registered, and you've got your company ID. Thereafter, you've got to go off and get your tax registration, because you do have to pay tax any which way. ZRA will happily take your details in and issue you with a TPIN, your taxpayer's identification number. And you then go off and get your bank account. That might take a little bit of time, a day or two. But once you have your bank account number, you can then get your value-added tax registration, which you will need to interact with certain businesses or do transactions of a certain size. So overall, Nathan, I wouldn't put that as anything that would hold anybody back. It's just part of the process.
Exactly. No, the idea is, I'm glad you've explained, because the notion we have here is that it's bureaucratic, it's tedious, it takes long. Okay. Before we go, we proceed here, let me just let everybody know you're listening to Zambia Block Talk Radio. We're talking to David Saunders, who is the outreach coordinator at Africa Diaspora Market, and Marcus Achiume, who is the founder and the proprietor at Mobile Payment Solutions. Marcus joins us courtesy of Steven Banda Communications, and they are our phone technical phone providers. You can check out their services and all the products that they offer at stevenbandacommunications.com. So that's stevenbandacommunications.com. Marcus, before we go back to David, let me ask you this. How did you learn about Africa Diaspora Marketplace?
So I think, so this was a couple of years ago, but if I remember correctly, my business partner, Iris, had been out of the country or had received an email from an associate of hers, and ABM had just done, this was ABM 2 now, that had gone out, and the communication, I think, came via email. And basically, we also do some money transfer. We provide money transfer services here in Zambia. And at the time, we had been talking about doing some work with Western Union. And ABM2, there was a reference to Western Union, and this friend of ours had suggested that we take a look, which we did. And it seemed to speak to exactly what we're doing here in Zambia. We fit the profile at the time, and we thought, well, let's try it and let's see what happens. But as you might imagine, something like this would be what you would call at the time, well, maybe it's a long shot, but all the same, we filled in the applications, described what it is that we would like to do, and submitted our proposal.
But what was your experience like? I mean, you submitted the proposal, and then what followed? Share with us, somebody listening out there that are like, these things. What was the experience like? You submitted the proposal the first time. What was the first response you got from ADM?
Yeah, so I see what you're saying, Nathan. And, you know, in other words, is this really going to happen, right? The reaction was going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, you heard what David said.
And
when
you know,
that was our initial... Yeah, you heard what David said, that when you people stay away, they're like, it can't work. You're already defeated before you even tried. So just share your experience with us.
Yeah. Absolutely right, and you know this is not the first submission we had made. This is not the first proposal we had made, as you might surmise. MPS, we were a startup. Okay, this was just an idea that we started off the ground. So we came across a lot of people who said to us, "What are you talking about?" We came across a lot of people who didn't understand the business model or what we were trying to do at the time. So we were kind of like used to trying things out, even if they didn't work. Our proposal, therefore, Nathan, was very short, and we described exactly what it is, the product that we were trying to put out there was, how it was going to benefit the community, and how we were expecting to roll it out. And we clearly identified what our challenges were going to be. In other words, our risks and what we're going to try and use the money for. So I think from that point of view, even though our proposal was, the first one was very brief, we tried to put all that information in there so that if you as a third party were going to read it, you would then take a look and you'd say, all right, let me hear more about this, I think. So essentially, it was a value proposition. We spent a lot of time trying to describe the value proposition in a very short document.
Excellent. David,
okay.
David, what does Marcus, mobile payment solutions, what does this say to the organization? What does Marcus' story mean to your organization?
It means that with perseverance and belief in your idea, you can be successful. ADM is just a opportunity, but true entrepreneurs only see potential. They don't see opportunity. They see potential. Other people see opportunities and say, that's too difficult. A true entrepreneur sees an opportunity and says, how do I make that my potential and a reality? And I'm very happy to hear the story that Marcus went through. You don't win every time. You don't be successful, but you continue until you have reached your goal.
Excellent. You see, this has come about because of different players, okay? And I really commend Robert because, you see, Robert and Zambia USA Chamber of Commerce and the role that they have played. I mean, Robert, you've been on one of the, what do you call them, David, roadshows? Is that what they are called?
Yes, roadshow. That was an idea that we came up with. Let's take this thing on the road and let's give it a show. So it became roadshow.
Yes, Robert, you met David at the roadshow. Just give us a picture of what goes on one of these sessions.
Well, I do recall back in 2011, we had a series of meetings and we were fortunate and encouraged to actually have then-Senator Curran Price be a part of it. So having him champion the cause really added a certain level of credibility to what we were doing. The several meetings were then followed up with, the roadshow reception. And truly, one of the values of that was the amount of networking there, because almost every single person in attendance had an interest in business or entrepreneurship. So outside of just the promoting ADM, it provided a great opportunity for networking for other ventures as well.
Excellent. I know that, of course, most of our audience is Zambian. Apart from Africa, rather diasporamarketplace.org, where they can get this information.
I want you to talk to us about Zambia USA Chamber of Commerce, the website, and what resources are available there.
Sure. The website, obviously, is ZambiaUSAChamber.org. And as you know, its existence is to find ways to promote investment and trade and investment between the USA and Zambia, you know, no matter how large, no matter how small. So try to provide as much resource on the site as possible. As you know, Nathan, a few months ago, we also launched the app. So there's an app available both in the Apple Store as well as the Google, what do they call it? Does Android call it shop? But it's on both platforms, just at the Zambia Resource, the Zambia USA Chamber of Commerce. And that app is linked to tremendous amounts of resources.
Yes. If you go into the App Store on your Android phone or smartphone, whatever it is called, just put in Zambia USA Chamber of Commerce and you can download the app. I'm happy to say I have it on my phone and there's a lot of things going on there. Before I go back to David and Marcus, as we conclude, let me allow one question. Could you please be brief and to the point? Area code 405, please go ahead.
Oh, I just come in. I don't know what
okay.
I was being discussed.
Okay, thank you. That's fine. David, as we conclude our discussion, and thanks for taking the time to do this, do you intend to continue this for the long haul? What is the plan?
The plan is we need three things to happen. One, we need to have the Zambian government and Zambian people say this is a great program. It provides opportunities. As Richard stated, we want to continue trade and investment opportunities between Zambians and the U.S. So you need to make sure that the U.S. government, particularly USAID, knows this is a useful and valuable program. The second thing that we want to do is the networking. As many as possible Zambian entrepreneurs, other African entrepreneurs are talking, networking, working together. This gives the impetus and the need to have USAID continue the program. And the third thing that we want to say is that you need to continue to become successful entrepreneurs. And as Marcus has done, reach back and help others. Show others the way. Show others it is a viable opportunity for them to take advantage of. So if with those three things, this will be a successful, sustainable program.
Excellent. And how would you say we make USAID know that this is a useful program? How do we do that?
You can send emails, make phone calls. Mm. You can speak to your local politicians in the U.S. In Zambia, you can make sure that the U.S. Embassy is aware of the fact that this program is a great program. That's how the U.S. government will find out, from hearing from the voices of the people.
Excellent, and we need to do that. Zambia USA Chamber of Commerce, Zambia Block Talk Radio, everybody will partner together to do this. Marcus, how has this worked for you?
Sorry, Nathan, what was that? I didn't get the question.
I'm saying, how has your grant from Africa Diaspora Marketplace, how has it worked for you?
It worked great, Nathan. I think in the absence of venture capitalists, local venture capitalist firms, that is institutions or individuals that will look at a business plan and assess it from its based on its content and its overall sort of three-dimensional perspective. I think what ABM did for us was great. We have had funding, but we never did go through the entire process of having to go and present to judges. And these are business savvy people at an international level. So for us, besides just the money, for us, the whole idea of having to go through this forum and explain to them exactly what it is we're trying to do, it sort of reinforced our thoughts and our goals and the path that we're taking in terms of how we're going to get there. David has said, I think this is all about entrepreneurship. It's all about self-belief, or at least being clear about what it is you want to do and sticking to it. ABM
business forums, all these other third parties, I think are there to assist the entrepreneur achieve their goals, but I don't think any of them are going to tell you exactly what to do. They will advise you, and I think they'll give you direction, which is what we got back from the forum. It sort of reinforced our belief that, yeah, this is exactly what we need to do, and this is exactly the direction we're taking. So from those two perspectives, Nathan, ABM was a positive thing for us. We got the funding, and we also got the affirmation that we are doing the right thing.
Robert, for the Zambian community, Zambia USA Chamber of Commerce, what's the way forward for us here?
I think the first thing is just to be risk takers. There's a tremendous amount of opportunity in Zambia. I think Zambia continues to be a fertile ground for development. We have the advantage of here of having access to a strong currency. I think the fact that we've made it through another peaceful election process just speaks to the Zambian people, just how the Zambian people are as a people, as well as ensuring that we have a fertile platform or a fertile environment for continued investment. So I think this is a good time for the Zambian community to say, you know what, I'm just going to jump in, take that risk, because it is a safe environment. We at the Zambia USA Chamber of Commerce will continue to be a resource to help facilitate that trade investment, and looking forward to continued growth for the country.
Excellent. Thank you, my friend, and for facilitating. We always appreciate your time.
Nathan.
Yes, go ahead, quickly.
If I may add to what Robert has just talked about in terms of the business environment vis-a-vis the political environment as well, I don't think that's just mere rhetoric. As somebody who's here on the ground and somebody who sees what's going on a day-to-day basis, I can assure you and everybody out there in the diaspora that the environment right now, it favors the entrepreneur. Okay? We're at a stage, I think, where good ideas will show, and government's influence, you might imagine, way back, I don't know how old you are, Nathan, but 30 years ago, when the economy was a state-controlled economy, you would have to get clearance from multiple stakeholders to go off and do any type of business. Today, the environment is wide open, okay? The market forces are active, and it's really up to you to come through and chart the course for yourself. So I'm really supporting what Robert is saying of
Robert
without being too political.
All right, thank you. We need to stop here. We've run out of time. David, thanks for taking the time. And Marcus, all the way from Zambia, and Robert, my friend. Those of you who want to get more information, of course, you can search for mobile payment solutions to learn about Marcus. And if you are interested in the competition, remember, David has said it's an open competition this time. There are no specific categories. DiasporaMarketPlace.org. Have a good weekend, everybody, and courtesy, we get a message from our sponsor as we end.
With a population of 7.12 billion people in the world today, millions of people have to deal with international phone cards, expensive landlines, and business phones. Those are the problems. Ish. Smile about it. Steven Banda Communications have your solution, because we provide international long-distance calling access with platinum connection at cheaper rates. And we are open 24/7 to meet and cater for your demand and needs. With us, you face no activation fees, no extra costs. Sign up, call 0044-2035-193570. Download our Steven Banda Communications app on Apple and Android. Free market, which allows you to send or receive calls, phone calls anywhere in the world. No extra costs. Visit StephenBandaCommunications.com.